Right, you're listening to Johnny Hero here on U105. We're going to catch up with the four of us, so let's have a wee snippet or two.
Well, time roll back again when I hear your voice on the radio. Well, time roll back again when I see the smokestack fall. There's somewhere I know we both can go. I'm no good at lying. I can't keep these hands tied. I can't watch in vain. Watch us tearing out the last page.
Oh, Mary, why don't you have some sense? Please do something to restore my confidence.
Some cracking stuff from the four of us, and Brenton and Declan are with us now. How you doing, boys?
All good, Johnny.
You're looking well.
You sound surprised.
No, you know, it's so many of my friends, if I don't see them for a couple of years, and then you think, whoa.
Yeah.
Wonder, has time been as unkind to me in their eyes, yeah. You know? But no, yeah. you're looking very well. You two haven't changed a bit. Have you got a painting in the attic somewhere?
You know, it's fun, but you're right. I go to funerals. It's funerals and weddings, and you see people my age, and I go, even if I'm looking good for my age, I'm still looking terrible. You know what I mean? Because yeah. you imagine what you look like in 30 or something like that. But I mean, yeah, I think we missed the whole. We obviously haven't partied enough. That must be what it is. We haven't done enough drinking or taking enough drugs. That's the only thing I can.
Yeah, don't try this at home, folks. No, I was at a funeral recently, and a guy came up to me and says, "How you doing?" I says, "How you doing?" He says, "You don't know me." And I really had to, you know why sometimes you bluff your way?
Yeah.
I look, of course I do.
Yeah.
I says, I have to hold my hands up, I don't know you. The last time I'd seen him was in 1971 or something, when we were in P6. And he expected me to, I have to say, whoa, you can't expect that now. I've seen you 10 years ago, but not,
no,
you know.
Really pushing it there.
But it's just, you know, you've changed a wee bit, you know, from then. So I wanted to ask you, you have always plugged away at the music. So many bands who got away sort of, you know, maybe had a couple of years in the limelight, although yours is never really sort of, you still get played in the radio. But so many bands decided, well, it's real job time, and go and pursue another career or do whatever, and finally turn their back on music. But you've never done that.
No. And, I think there's a point in your career, if you can call music a career, where, you know, you realise, well, if I don't really love this, two things happen. First of all, you have to decide, do I really, because you're about to enter what you know is a pretty painful stage in terms of, like, trying to rebuild.
But hold on, you know, when we're all wee lads, it's rose-coloured spectacles. All anybody can see is Top of the Pops and girls and parties, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's still those rose-coloured spectacles, you're still wearing them when you're 26, you know?
Yeah.
And some of us were still wearing them when they were 36. Yeah. By the time you get to 46, you know, at that stage, you know, you have to just ask yourself why you're in it. And I think we were lucky in a way in that we had to decide to take control of our own careers back in the late 90s when we really could have just called it a day. And what we decided to do was start our own record company.
Mm.
And we also were lucky in that the publishing deal that we had done sort of meant that we owned all our stuff from the late 90s. And that makes it makes a huge
big
difference.
Advantage, big difference, as you say. Yeah,
because I think a lot of the reason that people go, you know, I got to get a real job, to be blunt, is they just run out of money.
Yeah.
And they've no choice, really. So we found a way to we just said, well, look, if we own our records, if we own our master recordings, and we own all our publishing, then we don't need to sell a million records for us to make a pretty good living.
Yeah.
And then there's always a chance that you get lucky, and you know, and every now and again we'll get a song on a sitcom. We had a song on American TV there a few years ago that, you know, we get bigger than normal checks. But the reality is that, luckily for us, because of that,
yeah,
the money just never ran out completely.
But just for the listeners who don't know, the important bit was you kept the rights to your own recordings as well.
Yeah.
See, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
That is the big thing, because a lot of bands didn't have deals like that. You know, the record companies that they were with 20 years ago still own everything.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So it's... So we were sort of fortunate, and I think that it sort of allows us now just to do things our way. And we were, even when we were with the record company, we were awkward anyway. And
You were awkward with yourself when you released. You know, you recorded an album yourselves, and then just before release, scrapped it, didn't you?
Yeah, it wasn't very good though.
But that's a but that's a bold decision to make, and a very brave one to admit. Listen, the last 6 months we've written and recorded this has been wasted. Let's scrap it.
It was actually 2 years.
Was it 2?
Yeah, it was 2 years. But I mean, you know, you say it's brave, but I mean, to me, you know, I don't know how people can go out and say, you know, I tell you what, we're going to go out and we're going to see the media and we're going to talk to guys like yourself on radio shows and the press, and we're going to tell them all about our great record. If you actually, in your heart of heart, don't really think it's that good. So, I mean, we just thought, you know, and I believe the general public. My attitude is like, oh, if I don't think it's great, the reality is no one else is going to think it's great. So you sort of has to start with you. So, I mean, it was a pretty easy decision to make, but I mean, not it wasn't. It was an easy, it was sort of a relief, but still, like, I know, you know, it's still pretty, it's really scary because we spent 2 years on it, we watched the album go out of date while we were making it.
Yeah.
And that was also pretty, you know,
because while you were making it, technology was coming on leaps and bounds, and the music scene was changing every fortnight, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've just now tried to focus on making songs that don't date. I mean, like Mary, that song that you played there in the comp, that was 25 years old now this year. The reason I think that song has stuck around is just because there's nothing really, really dateable on it. It's just, you know, it's the acoustic guitar, basics, so with some string section and a wee story.
Well, it hasn't been dated by syndromes or anything like that. You know, all the stuff that was very, very high tech considered way back. But you didn't go into that temptation. You let the song breathe. You know, it's a simple song.
Yep, absolutely.
Just played sort of minimalist fashion.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we've just sort of concentrated on that. And the other reason we haven't stopped doing it is because we're still enjoying it.
Well, that's the main reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's brilliant because, I mean, I don't think Mary has ever gone off our playlist, and certainly most stations in up north and down, well, all over Ireland would always be playing it.
Yeah, we keep waiting for, you know, at sort of time to be called on the song. But even last year, Chris O'Dowd, the guy at Bridesmaids, he had a show... He has a show called Moon Boy.
I was talking about Moon Boy today. I think it's one of the best shows on TV. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I haven't seen.
Have you
the
not?
Show.
No,
but everybody said it's great.
Yes.
And their producer contacted us saying that they wanted to use Mary because one of the episodes was called A Bunch of Marys.
That's right.
It was the episode with Mary Robinson, and then they were using our song. And then, of course, that brings it. So every time you think, oh, now this year, that's the end of it, then something like that happens, and bang. Back in playlists again, and so it's just there's kids who know the song and don't know who the four of us are, you know.
Oh,
what
yeah.
I mean, like sort of 17 year old, 16 year olds, you know. But we'll take anything, you know what I mean, as long as they know something.
I would be playing stuff like Drag My Bad Name Down in discos, you know, like and you'd get like a whole new generation seriously coming, what's that?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Yeah.
And where can you get that?
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant. As you say, the technology's changed. So it's brilliant for you from the point of view of the internet and all. Everybody, if they hear it and like it, they're going buy it right away, you know.
Yeah.
Download it.
Yeah. And again, for considering that we sort of do everything ourselves, the internet for us has been a godsend.
Yeah.
You know, because it just cuts out the whole palav of distribution. And if you do something you think's good, you can get it out to the people that might be interested really fast.
If you'd been involved with a big record company when you recorded that album you weren't happy with, chances are they would have forced you to go out and promote it anyway.
I think so, because they would have paid for it.
Yeah.
Either that or they would have asked for the money back that it cost you to make them, you know?
No, that would have been soul-destroying, out trying to sell and talk enthusiastically about a thing that you knew you weren't happy with.
Yeah. Or the worst, and this, the thing that's most common that happens is that a record label, that an artist makes the wrong record, and he loves it, a wrong record for the record company. He loves it and he presents it to the record company, and even though he loves it and maybe spent 2 years on it, they don't like it, and because they don't like it, they won't release it. I mean, that has happened to a lot of, even like a band, Wilco. Like Wilco basically then had to buy the album back off the label after they dropped them, and they went on to, and that album ultimately went on to be the album that sort of really made
them. That was the one that really broke them then, the big audience, And then, of course, well, record companies' decisions have baffled people. I mean, you famously, I think, parted company with a record company in the very week that you had your highest chart position in the UK, wasn't
that
it?
That's right.
With She Hits Me?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So the plug away for years, you finally get the big break, album's doing well, single in the charts, and just get a phone call. Was that it?
Well, actually, I mean, they what they actually wanted to do was, there was a bit of logic behind what they said, because we'd spent what they thought was a suicidal amount of time between albums, 3 years, between the first album, which had sort of taken off, and the second album. They were afraid we were going to do it again. So when they had the, unluckily for them, the what's called the option where they have to decide to re-sign, you came up just as we had the hit.
Yeah.
And but they thought, oh, if we give these guys another absolute boatload of money, they might just disappear for another 4 years. So they did make a phone call, and in that phone call they said, look, here's the deal. We would like to extend our option. And so instead of making this decision now whether to keep you or not, we'd like to make it in another 6 months, and we want you to write the demos for your new album in 6 months, and at that point we'll decide whether to give you a boatload of money. So I understood it, but from our point of view it just sounded like, well, that's not, they're not really showing a lot of faith, are they, you know? And we had also re-signed our publishing, so we didn't need their money at the time. Now 4 years later we could have done with their money, but at the time we didn't need it, so we just said, well, no, either sign it, either agree to sign us based on the way it is, or forget it. And they went, it's too big a risk. These guys are going to go away for 4 years. And you know what? They were right.
Listen, I know you're in the Empire this Friday. Vicar Street, have you done that? You've done Vicar Street?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was phenomenal. Sold out show. I mean, there's nothing like Vicar Street's the best venue. What do you think, Declan? It's the best venue in the country, isn't it?
Brilliant.
I just don't think you can beat it. And we've been in most of them.
Yeah.
It's just an absolutely, and it just didn't disappoint on the night.
So oh, good stuff. Us. Take it that we're singing every word.
Well, particularly when the original band came up, because the way these two shows we've done that are being done in the Empire and Vicar Street, they're unlike anything we've ever done, in that I make a joke at the start that actually tonight's going to be the seven of us, because the original band joins us for all the songs that they played on.
Oh, brilliant.
The first two. So we start off with our current band, and then the original band sort of takes over. So we played for like two and a half hours.
Brilliant.
And even there's a song that Declan has never sung apart from on the first album's called Songs Attempted. He sang it on the record, but due to, I don't know what it was, stage fright or whatever, he never then toured it. But now, 25 years later, he performed it at Vicar Street for the first time ever live, you know.
The quiet man,
got the biggest round of applause of the whole night.
That's what you've been doing wrong all these years. Let Declan sing.
I know, you're right.
Okay, listen, you're going to sing one for us now. What are you going to do?
We're going to sing a song that goes back quite a few years. 1993, the song was the song we were talking about, the one that got into the UK Top 30. It's called She Hits Me.
Friend I can count on alone. She sits beside me when I am on my own. Slips inside me with her own liquid ease. She comes around to keep me company. And when my body's bruised and sore, she dims her lights and locks every door. Leaves me legless, too blind to see. She takes my arm to kill me gently. So tired, I can't let it show. Temptation, I can't let go. She hits me with her eyes, she leaves me paralyzed. She hits me with her eyes, she hits me. It's a bad situation, my love of a drink. She rears me when I am on the brink. Stones my senses with her own special style. Steals my body and drugs it for a while. Can you see I got nowhere to hide?
kiss me, where the ash hits me. Maybe I've had enough of all your sympathizing. See, I need a tonic, not an antidote. Just watch this spirit fly.
Brilliant. Super arrangement of that. Well done. I'm assuming that's how it was written anyway.
Yeah, sort of was, yeah. Sort of was. And then all the bells and whistles got added to it, and now we've taken them all off again.
No, listen, that's brilliant. I know you're in the Empire this Friday. When's the new album out?
September, I think.
That long? Are you promising September now?
Yeah, so that's September at the latest. No, you know us too well, Johnny. You know us too well.
Listen, boys, thanks very much. Terrific.